You're listening to Gerald Flurry and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. What does it mean to become an enemy of God? Well, an enemy of God is one who actively fights against Him and His message, and it really is the worst fate to ever afflict anybody, because God always has to conquer His enemies, and usually He does that through their repentance and the changing of their ways. So that is God's goal. What can you do to avoid becoming an enemy of God? What can I do to avoid that? Because it is so destructive and so deadly that we have to be very careful, because it is a real trap that people can fall into. The prophet Micah had an end time message for our people today, and it's dual. He addressed it to spiritual Israel, or God's church, and he also addressed it to three nations of Israel. And that's all explained in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. Talks about the birthright nations and the two birthright nations and the scepter nation. And that'll all be explained to you in that book. And you can request your free copy anytime. But there's only a little remnant here that really fights for God. And Micah makes that very clear, just a small group. Ezekiel does as well. So let's take a look first of all to Micah 2 and verse 6. Micah chapter 2 and verse 6, where it says, "Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame." In other words, the enemy of God is actively fighting against Him and His message. They're saying, don't prophesy. Don't get out this message of God. That's what they're saying, whether they realize it or not. But there's a little remnant there that is going to prophesy and do what God says, in spite of what human beings tell them to do, in spite of those enemies of God that fight against God's own people, His own loyal people, His own little remnant that continues to get this message of prophecy from God to this world. So what an amazing reward those people do receive, and it's just the most wonderful reward that you could ever imagine. They get to be protected from all of the horrible destruction coming upon the world, and they also get to rule at God's headquarters of the world and of the universe for all eternity. That's quite a reward for getting this message out today and helping to deliver it today when there are enemies that don't want to hear it. Of course, there always will be, and there always has been those enemies. Micah 2 and verse 7 says, "O you are named the house of Jacob." Jacob was unconverted when he had that name, but when he became converted, he changed his name to Israel. And so this is to Jacob, the unconverted people of Israel, the nations of Israel. And he goes on to say, "Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these His doings? Do not my words do good to him that walks uprightly?" Well, of course, that is true. But notice verse 8, where God talks about His enemy. "Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy." My people, that is again, verse 7 says it's Jacob, the unconverted nations of Israel. But also, my people is that spiritual Israel, or God's own church, has turned against Him in this end time, and they are included here. "Even of late, like yesterday, my people is risen up as an enemy." You pull off the robe and with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. In other words, they're just taking off their righteousness or righteous clothes, as it is symbolized in the Bible. But where it says of late, it means like yesterday, just like yesterday this happened. That God's people have just risen up as an enemy, and they're actively fighting against God. And they're averse from war, it says. In other words, they're weak spiritually. They're weak and don't stand up and fight for the truth of God or fight for God. But instead, they fight against God because they don't have God's power and God's strength, because of their attitude and their lukewarm spirit and perhaps a rebellious spirit. But they become God's enemy. And that's the most terrible fate that could afflict anyone. Verse 2 of Micah 1 says, "What was the message given to Micah? Hear, all you people, hearken, O earth." This is for the whole world, God says. Everybody should hearken. Hear, all you people, as the Hebrew says. Hear, this message is for the entire world. It's not just for a few people or not just for Israel. It's for the entire world. And God said to Micah, well, now I want you to hear this. But here God has chosen this little remnant, and they bring the message of God, and they prophesy the message of God, and they have proof that it is from God. God says, prove all things. So these people have proven this. It is God's message, and this message is delivered by God's little remnant, His supporters, in this end time. And they do it in spite of certain opposition that comes against them. Verse 5 of Micah 1 says, "For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel." And then it goes on, what is the transgression of Jacob, and if not Samaria, and what are the high places of Judah? And are they not Jerusalem? So he's talking about Jacob, or the unconverted people of Israel, nations of Israel, then two of them specifically. And then he says the house of Israel, and he's talking about spiritual Israel. And then he goes on to talk about Judah, another nation, the scepter nation, the Jews in the Middle East, that Jewish state. So there's a spiritual dimension to all of this, but it's about transgressions, people transgressing God's way of life and fighting against it in some cases. And that is a terrible, terrible tragedy. Then in verse 8 and 9, it says, "Therefore will I wail and howl." This is after verses 3 through 6, which talks about a consuming fire when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. It's going to be very, very trying to the whole earth and the whole world. "But therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragon or the jackals, and mourning as the owls or the screeching ostriches. For their wound is incurable, for it is coming to Judah. And he is coming to the gate of the people, even to Jerusalem," which is a type of all Israel, but specifically for three nations in this end time. But their wound is incurable. They can't cure their wound. When you see all these problems surrounding us, it's incurable. Only God can cure it. That's the point. There's no hope in individuals or men. No hope at all. You have to look to God. Verse 6 again says, "Prophesy you not." That's what I mentioned before in verse 8. "Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy." As an enemy. They've risen up like yesterday. They were with God, and now they become an enemy. What happened? Well, we have a book that explains all that to you, and it's called Malachi's Message, and we'll send you a copy of that for free as well. All of our literature is free. We make sure that we give it away because God has given it to us. But Ezekiel is an end time book. I want to mention something from Ezekiel that is, I think, very interesting. And it's for right now. It's a time, and our book will prove that to you. Or you could say it's a small book anyhow, but it's a big booklet. And it explains all of this, and it's addressed to the house of Israel, which means spiritual Israel and two nations of Israel, including a third nation that is Judah. In the Bible, that's what the Jewish state is called. Now then, verse 3, notice this, "You shall also take there a few in number and bind them in your skirts." In other words, God says, now, through this terrible times are coming, but I'm going to protect my little remnant. That's what that means. Binding them in his skirts. He's going to look after them. He's going to protect them as their husband. And especially those who were of the very elect and were loyal to God all the way. Verse 4, "Then take care of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, and thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel." Some terrible, terrible trials. Goes on to say the same thing about Jerusalem, which is a type of these three nations in the end time. But I want to show you something here. And remember how God is repeating so many phrases here that you need to understand the importance of this. God repeats it because it's so terribly important. Verse 6, "And she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about." That's number 2. These nations that I'm talking about, three nations, are sinning in worse ways than the nations around them are. And these are the nations that have been blessed with the birthright and blessed with the scepter reward, actually opportunity to sit on David's throne. But notice also verse 7 says, "Therefore thus says the Eternal God, because you multiplied your sins more than the nations." Three times God says that. You've sinned more than all the nations. That's a final warning. 3 is finality. That's what the number means in the Bible. A final warning to the nations of Israel. And they're so bad that in their sins that they're worse than the nations around them. So you and I can see who they are. It doesn't have to be a mystery if we're just honestly aware of what's going on. And I mean, they are turning against God more and more, the nations and God's own church, and fighting against Him and becoming His enemy of all things, when they are people chosen to serve God. All of them, all Israel, is chosen to serve God and to be an example to the world. They have a history with God which other nations do not have, and God is going to hold them accountable for that. That's the strongest kind of warning. Now notice again where God says here that He's talking about His enemies or enemy. "Therefore," verse 8, "therefore thus says the Eternal God, behold, I, even I, am against you." Now that's the most horrible situation you could ever find yourself in, where God is against you. "And will execute judgments in the midst of you in the sight of the nations." Everybody's going to be able to see it. And we ought to see what's happening today because it's pretty obvious. Notice verse 9. We'll start another one of those series of 3. "And I will do in you that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like because of all your abominations number one. Verse 11 talks about all the detestable things and with all your abominations, number two. God is using perhaps the strongest word in the Bible to describe sin. And then verse 9, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations. And he goes on to say, and I am broken with their whorish heart. And he concludes by saying, they have committed in all their abominations. There's three of them again. All your abominations is just about as bad as it could ever be. And God gives a final warning because of these terrible abominations. And he repeats that phrase three times. And he also repeats that they're worse than the nations around them in their sins, when they should be setting examples for this world. But God says, I was broken with their whorish heart. The New King James reads, I was crushed by their adulterous heart. God was just broken by it. He was crushed by it. He's a father. And this is his family. And he has emotions. He created our emotions. He's a very emotional being. But he also has love, which is far more than just emotion. And he said that you've just crushed his heart. He's been crushed by that adulterous heart or that whorish heart of the people. That's because he loves us so much. And he is the creator of emotions. And he has emotions himself. He's made us like he is. But can't we see all these abominations if we look around? God repeats it three times. Can't we see that? They don't know God. They don't know God. They fight against God. They're even often his enemy and don't even know it. Other times they do and still fight against him. But God says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, why will you die, O Israel? He said, I take no pleasure in the punishment of the wicked. And he says, now to correct this, if you can see that doesn't happen, if you will turn, and turn three times again, that this is finality. This is the last warning. Turn or terrible things are going to happen. Notice verse 10. The first line there says, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. That's number one. Here's another three times. And then verse 13, then shall you know that I am the Eternal. And then verse 14, the last sentence, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. That's another finality. God says that all of this that they're going through is going to bring them to the point that they get to know God. They don't know God to get today. They don't know who and what God is. They don't know. Now, our book on Mystery of the Ages proves that to anybody that's willing to prove it. God wants this whole creation of his to get to know him, and he's going to see to it that they do. And those who die without ever having known God are going to be resurrected and get a chance to know God for the first time. Get a chance to know God for the first time. What a wonderful time that's going to be. God is recreating himself in man. This is his family that is the Father is creating. What better news could you hear than that? That God is putting us through these trials and tests because he wants us to get to know him and be able to come into his family and have glory for all eternity. That's what God wants for us. But God is a loving, emotional God. He's not a God of wood and stone who can't feel for his family and discipline them and correct them if he has to, just like a father has to correct a son at times so that he doesn't just do crazy things and disobey and always fight against his dad. That's what the way God is. But you see, once God does bring you to this point, he's going to let you help him rule over the nations for 1,000 years, and that's only the beginning, where then man will be expanded out into the universe, and those first fruits, or those who are delivering the message today, are going to be the rulers, the kings and priests for God forever, forever. That's the plan of God. See, this is a time when Israel is going to be great, and the time when America is going to be great again. A time when God is going to be blessing this world in a way that they can hardly even imagine. It's beyond what we think of as utopia. But verse 1 of chapter 3, let me just go back and read a little of that. In Micah, and I said, "Here I pray you, O heads of Jacob." See, they're unconverted like Jacob was. "Is it not for you to know judgment? Is it not for you to know judgment, Jacob?" Here you've had a history with God, and God has chosen you to be an example to the world. Is it not for you to have judgment? Where is your judgment? Your judgment is lost. Where you have no judgment today. And he talks about verse 8, "to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin." So you see, there's the duality again, Jacob and Israel. Unconverted and converted Israel, or the church of God, the true church of God. Israel has failed God, and God is pointing that out to them. Verse 5. Of chapter 3 of Micah. "Thus says the Eternal concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace." And when there is no peace, they're crying peace. There's all kinds of false prophets out there, people that will preach to you smooth things, which is not what God tells them to proclaim. You'd better watch out because, well, you see, you can't follow a man. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. But here you see, God says that you better prove from your Bible that somebody's teaching you the truth, because there's all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of false teachers out there that are leading you astray. That's the warning. But notice the good news. Micah 4 and verse 1 talks about the last days. The last days, the days we're living in right now. It tells you that very clearly. Verse 2, "And many nations shall come and say, come up and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem." Now that's the way it's going to be. Many nations are going to be coming up to Jerusalem after Christ returns and he has his little remnant, and all of those first fruits that helped to get his message out throughout the ages are going to be there ruling with him. And many nations are going to come up and want to be taught. The whole world is going to want to be taught God's way. That's the most beautiful ending we could possibly even imagine. And then Micah goes on in verses 4 and 5 and talks about God has recreated himself in man. Verse 5 ought to just be mind-splitting to anybody if you understand it. And our little booklet on Micah will explain that to you, and you will find it inspiring like perhaps no other verse in the Bible. Well, we can just quickly conclude here by where he talks about God isn't looking for physical sacrifices, but in verse 8 of Micah 6, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Eternal require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Now that isn't complicated. This is what God wants for us. he goes on to say in Micah 7 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ is coming, and there's going to be a watchman in this end time warning and telling you about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring glory and peace and joy to this earth forever. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Thousands of years ago, the prophet Micah wrote about a shocking end time event, God's own church rebelling and becoming his enemy. Learn how this tragic betrayal took place. Discover how to fight back and be loyal to God. The biblical book of Micah contains a terrifying message for America, Britain, and the Jewish nation of Israel. Micah's message for God's church is even more terrifying. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Micah, God's People Rise Up as His Enemy, to gain insight into the biggest betrayal in the 2,000-year history of God's true church. Understand how to avoid the worst fate imaginable, becoming God's enemy. The book of Micah has its share of bad news, but the conclusion is overwhelmingly positive. Study Micah, God's People Rise Up as His Enemy, to discover the incredible future in store for God's loyal remnant. Like Micah, the prophet Ezekiel revealed specific prophetic events that are happening right now in the United States and Britain. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, to grasp why these nations are headed for the worst crisis ever known. Learn why most of God's church will join them during this period of unimaginable suffering. However, this story does not end in tragedy. Prove how the coming time of tribulation is just a part of God's master plan to usher in the wonderful kingdom of God. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order Micah, God's People Rise Up as His Enemy, and Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, today. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.